Good morning again. This morning I read in John chapter 15, the first 19 verses, which basically kind of went through what Christ wants from us as his followers and his disciples, and how we should be living. I'm not sure which one's going to work here, because that has small print and this has bigger print, so we'll see. When you get to a certain age, you'll know which of your eyes want to work. And I'm there. So what do you want? There's some people that I know tend to think about what people might like or want all year long. Some people will give, and we probably all know a few, who'll give you a gift just out of the blue for no reason whatsoever, because they knew it was something you wanted. For those of you that are in back class today, Bob probably wants a plane. A gas-powered plane. He had a bad experience with a gas-powered plane. But there's people that we know in our lives that are constantly thinking about what others want. They'll walk through a store and you'll be like, so-and-so would really like that. There was a time whenever we saw something with ladybugs, we knew that Sam would like it, because Sam was the ladybug queen. And then there's other people who, when it comes to certain times in our lives, whether it be an anniversary or a birthday, we start thinking, what does so-and-so want? What does our child want? What does our wife want? What might our parents want? Or something along those lines. And some of us, you know, might think of that a couple months ahead of time and be a little more prepared. Some of us might be thinking of that, you know, the day before and procrastinate a little bit. But what do you want is always kind of something that is on somebody's mind. Especially this time of season, people are always thinking, well, what do you want? What do your kids want? Or what do you think your parents want? Or you know, what kind of gift do they want? And it's usually around these celebrations that we do that. And the receiver of the gift, they usually feel a lot of a sense of admiration. I mean, that they're appreciative, that somebody thought of them, that, you know, especially those gifts that just come out of nowhere, for not a specific, you know, celebration of any sort. They really feel like that person connects with them, really cares about them, really shows a sense and a love for them that's important. And so the receiver of the gift always benefits as well and has a certain feeling from it. So today I want to look at, we're going to look in Colossians, and we're going to kind of work through the first chapter in Colossians for those that want to follow along. And we're going to take a look at what Paul and Timothy have kind of laid out and reminded us of what God wants and what Jesus wants. Because sometimes we get so caught up in what other people want here in our lives and on this earth that we forget the big picture, which is, what does God want? And what does Jesus want? Because they definitely, we come to church each week, we try to live the good Christian life, and it's obvious that, you know, we have the Bible and the scriptures that tell us there's certain things that they want from us. There's certain things that they want us to achieve. So we're going to look through it a little bit this morning. Shouldn't take too long. We know there's a lot that they want from us if you go through a lot of it. But I'm going to try to simplify it a little bit. We're just going to try to look at a couple key components on what they want. So in Colossians verses 3 through 5, Paul and Timothy are telling him, we always thank God, the Father, our Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ and of the love that you have shown to all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard the true message of the gospel that has come to you. So right here, they always thank God, the Father of Christ, for what? for the fact that these people believe in him. They have a hope for him. They have a love for his people, for more of God's people. And with all of that love that they're showing to other people, that's building and giving them more of a strength of what's stored in for them up in heaven. Thinking of what they have to look forward to after this life. So what's one of the things that he wants for us? I mean, he wants us to have that hope for heaven, hope for that future, but he also wants us to have the love for all of God's people. That's a want that God has for us. That's one of the reasons why he sent his son. He goes on to talk a little bit more, a little bit later in verse 9. Says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So he wants us to have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the Word. Knowledge and understanding of what his desire is for us. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. We go through our lives to please him in every way. That's what he wants us to do. That's what we strive to do. Bearing fruit in every good work. We don't get just to go through our lives. We have to, you know, do good works through our life. And hopefully that good work will bear fruit. Which I read earlier about the vine and being connected to Christ. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So here he's reminding us that we need to please him in every way. We need to be bearing fruit. That he wants us to be strengthened according to his will, according to his might and what he wants. He wants us to gain endurance. He wants us to have patience. And then he finishes up in verse 14 where he says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness for our sins and forgiveness of sins. If it wasn't for Christ and him wanting us to have this redemption, he wouldn't have given us Christ. He wouldn't have sent his son down to kind of bridge that gap, to solve everything that Adam ruined for us and all the sin that he brought into the world. So what does God want? He wants us to be brought out of the darkness, and he wants us to accept that redemption and that forgiveness for our sins that his son has set up for us. We wouldn't have that or be able to do that without his son. Then starting in verse 15, as a part of God wanting us to acknowledge him and what he's done, the fact that he sent his son for that redemption, he goes on to explain, starting in verse 15, reminding us of how great that son is. And right now, everybody, you know, this time of year, everybody's thinking about, you know, Christ's birth, and there's so much more to it than that. There's what he stands for and what he did when he came to this earth. Starting in verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. He's that image of God for us. He's the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. he's showing here that Christ is supreme. Christ is over everything. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. When Christ came down for us, when he came down to this earth and lived that life and lived it perfectly and then sacrificed himself for us, he completed everything. He gave us that opportunity. He gave us the chance to be reconciled and be in God's good graces again. But we still have that choice to make. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So our peace and the peace that's made available to us is because of the fact that he shed his blood on the cross. So Christ is, here we have that whole picture of what Christ is for us and what he wants. So what does Jesus want for us? We know what God wants. He wants us to acknowledge him and what he did, what he provided, and what he allowed for us to come back together and do, in having that relationship with him. What does Jesus want? Since he came down and lived on this earth and gave his life for us, what does he want from us? Starting in verse 21, it says, "You were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." That's us. That's what we were. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death." So what does Christ want for us? He wants us to be reconciled. He gave his life so that we could be reconciled. Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. So he wants us to be clean again. He wants us to be without blemish. He wants us to be free of sin, free of accusations, but we still have to make that choice. He's done the work for us. He's set it up for us, but we still ultimately have to make that choice. He goes on to say in verse 23, "If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." We still have to make that choice to proclaim it. We still have to make that choice to accept it. We still have to choose to be, allow him to reconcile us. It's not something that he did, and there's nothing that comes out of us and nothing that we have to do to achieve that. We still have our part to do. He's set it up. He wants us to make, Jesus wants us to be holy. He wants us to be free of blemish and free of accusations, but we still have to do our part. Paul talks about, next he goes into talking about suffering for the church. And we all know that the apostles and the followers and the disciples, as they went through proclaiming Christ and proclaiming God and the way to salvation, they were persecuted more than we could ever be persecuted here, or that we have. I mean, I guess we could be persecuted that bad, but we haven't. We might have some repercussions. We might have people look at us a certain way. We might have people kind of shrug their shoulders or you know, scowl at us because of our beliefs and the way we choose to live our lives when we try to follow Christ. But we don't get persecuted and suffer the way the apostles and disciples did when they proclaimed Christ and proclaimed the word of God. They were, when they did it, their life was at risk. Here we might get shunned a little bit right now. It could get worse, but hopefully it won't in our lifetimes. But right now we still may receive some type of suffering. And Paul goes on to explain that, yeah, that's something that will happen. And it's something that, you know, I think God does want to happen, because that's showing that you do believe, that you will put them first. You'll put this word first. You'll put his message first. You're acknowledging the fact that he gave up his son if you're willing to follow his word and suffer. You may suffer because of it. And so in verse 24 it says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is his church. I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." So we know that Paul received a bunch of afflictions. He was persecuted because he was sharing the word. We know that that happened to him. He's saying he accepts that. He knows that God wanted him to do that. There were multiple times he asked for him not to be persecuted, but he knew and he accepted the fact that that was something that he had to go through. That was something that God wanted him to go through. And I think when we go through those difficult times, when we are persecuted or when we do suffer, that just shows more how much we believe and how much we trust in God and his plan, and the more that we appreciate the fact that Christ came and gave his life for us so that we have that chance for salvation. So to think that he wants us to suffer might be a little bit hard to swallow, but there's good that comes from suffering. We have to continue to be faithful through all of those trials. He wants us to be faithful no matter what we're facing. In verse 28, this is the final thing that I'm going to kind of wrap up with. In verse 28, it says, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we can present everyone fully mature in Christ." So what is Jesus, what does God ultimately want for us as Christians? What does he want for us as his disciples, as followers? He wants us to proclaim him and admonish him. He wants us to teach everyone about him. I had several friends think, you know, post or text and say, you know, it's great that Christmas is on a Sunday. It is great that Christmas is on a Sunday, because a lot of people are probably going to church today. A lot of people might be missing as well and celebrating at home. But some of my friends are viewing it as today is a special day because, you know, it's the day that society's chosen to choose as the day to celebrate Christ's birth, and it's on a Sunday. Well, we come together every Sunday. Chad talked about it at his table talk this morning. We come together every Sunday. We are supposed to be thinking about Christ every day. He wants us to live our lives for him every day. And we might get persecuted for it, but that's what he wants for us. He wants us to try to live our life as closely to his as possible. Follow his words as closely as possible. So that way we can hopefully teach everyone and bring as many people as we can to Christ so that they can acknowledge him every day, not just a couple days a year, not just one day, even one day a week when they come to church on a Sunday morning. It should be every day. So in the time when we think about what people want in our lives, when you're thinking about what your siblings want or your spouses or your family members, what we really need to not forget, and probably, well, not probably, it is the most important thing for us on this earth, in this life, is what God wants and what Jesus wants, what they want for us. We're here to serve them. But like in John, where I read earlier this morning, you know, he went from calling us servants to friends. We need to do this with the right heart. We need to do it with the right relationship. We need to, you know, bear fruit, remain in love, and obey his commands like was mentioned in John 15, the way he wants us to. He wants us to serve, but he wants us to serve as a friend. We shouldn't feel like we're being forced to. We should be doing this because we want to. We should be willing to accept everything that the Bible's explaining and telling us to do and live that life because of what God was willing to do for us. To send his son to repair that broken relationship. For his son to be willing to die to mend that relationship so that we can be saved and have a relationship with him. And ultimately, our time here, short time. Short time. Feels like a long time some days, but it's short time. When we're talking about eternity with heaven, in heaven with God, and all those others that we've shared that word with, all those others that we've set examples for, and we've brought to him. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to make a difference with. So in this time of wanting to provide for our kids and give them what they want and our family members, let's not forget what God wants. Let's not forget what Jesus wants, what God was willing to do to provide that for us, and what Jesus was willing to do to provide that for us this morning. We're going to offer the gospel invitation, and we'll have Ben lead us in a invitation song. If anybody needs to to build that relationship, take those first steps, and put God first in their life, and put Jesus first in their life, we're here to help and serve in any way that you might see as you need. So just come forward when Ben leads us in the invitation song.
1018.